You know?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
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 What we can see, what we believe can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Who we can be unburdened by who we have been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Where we can be unburdened by where we have been and unburdened by where we are right now.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What could be unburdened by what had been?
What can be unburdened by what has 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 been?
Unburdened by what has been, believing in what can be.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
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 What could be unburdened by what had been?
What can be unburdened by what has 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 been?
What can be, what should be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been? See what can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Unburdened by what has been and knowing what can be.
Have a sense of vision about what can be unburdened by what has been.
To see what can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
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 That can be unburdened by what has been.
There are those who are unable to see what can be, but there are many more who are able to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
There you have it, Kamala Harris. What can be unburdened by what has been? We need more compilations like that. It's genius to put compilations like that together. It works in a lot of ways. First of all, that was like the first way that people caught on to the media echo chamber was when someone, I think this might have been before the Trump presidency, put together a compilation of exactly how the local media in every single city basically is a giant echo chamber. And what they did was they lined it up box by box by local. And this video is popular now. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. Box by box of local networks repeating these same exact lines. And here you have Kamala Harris doing exactly that. Saying one line. Saying one.
I can
line.
Imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been.
What can be and unburdened by what has been. And it's just awesome to put that stuff together. I think the meme war is important for sure. The meme war might be the most important war that we're fighting. But the second biggest war is compilations. Putting together bunches of information together like this to shoot out to people like, hey, here's all the lies compiled into one page. Read it and you will see how they've been lying and disprove themselves over time. But in Kamala's case, it's just one quote, right? One freaking quote. Her favorite quote.
You know, what can be unburdened by what has been. What can...
I mean, when did she learn this quote that she had to keep using it for the rest of her life, basically? What can be unburdened by what has been. You know, the ironic thing about this quote is if they applied it to themselves, right, then we would have a lot more progression in terms of like the race tensions in this country caused by the Democratic Party, right? What can be unburdened by what has been. That's basically everything the Democratic Party has clung onto in order to kind of stir and promote the racial divide in this country. So I think it's hilarious, hilarious that she is so being such a hypocrite in this regard, right? If that was true.
Can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be, if they actually took what they said and applied it to their own arguments, we would have no racial tensions in this country. None. Because you wouldn't look back at slavery. You wouldn't look back at Jim Crow. You wouldn't look back at the racial tensions afterwards, right? And say, hey, we should basically not. You wouldn't look back and say, okay, we should basically proceed with the way our race relationships are based off of what happened 200-300 years ago. So ironic, very ironic that that is her slogan, right? Is the whole that. And of course, not to get into history too much, but the race war has been started by the Democratic Party and now is being almost finished out and continued by them as well. So Kamala's a freaking hypocrite, the most unlikable VP that we've ever seen, right? Most unrelatable VP. Quite might be the most, I mean, she's a woman and she's like one of the most unattractive VPs, right? It's just an unfortunate situation that we have Joe Biden, who's a nut job moron, followed by, if something happened to Dark Brandon, as they're now calling him, you know, that she would be the one to potentially take over, where her answer to everything is a fucking fucking awkward laugh. So yeah, Kamala, hands down. I mean, this is hands down the worst P as in president of all time, alongside the worst VP of all time. And the echo chamber of nonsense that's being spewed by the both of them. I mean, most of everything Biden says, come on, there's no creativity there at all. There's nothing that Biden says that has anything to do with what goes on in his own brain. I think most, if not all of us, know that by now. So, and speaking of Biden, I mean, just look at him calling himself Dark Brandon, bro. Like, first of all, this is not a joke that works well in your favor, the Dark Brandon thing. It doesn't work well in your favor if it's being, you can't turn this one around. Because first of all, it got turned around to begin with by the right wingers, right? Watching the NASCAR event, and there was an interview with a guy named Brandon, and it was, the guys were saying, fuck Joe Biden in the crowd, and the commentator who, she knew. She spun it the way she could. Basically, freaking spun it as "Let's go, Brandon." Or for the race car driver. And now Biden's trying to cling on to this whole persona of Dark Brandon. Fucking comical. Let's just see how his comic delivery fares up.
Roy. podium is yours. I'm going to be fine with your jokes, but I'm not sure about Dark Brandon.
He's such a fucking loser. By the way, I did not watch the full extent of that White House dinner. But if you zoom in, which I don't think I can, I hate, this is why I don't like Twitter. If you zoom in, oh yeah, you can kind of zoom in here. You can kind of see what we've seen in that video, which is that very, very disgusting neck of his, right? So keep that in mind that this man, Joe Biden, he's old. And it's either a mask or it's some disgusting. I mean, I think personally, he definitely pulled his skin back or something. Because don't people do that where they like tuck their skin in the back and then they have their wrinkles go away and shit? It's very possible that Joe Biden did that. In my eyes, at least. I mean, you guys tell me if you guys see something different with what he did. But no, that just doesn't look right, in my opinion. Shitty dinner. I mean, I honestly can consider for a minute playing the Al Smith dinner with Donald Trump and just playing that through today. And just instead of paying any attention to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I was going to pull up the Al Smith dinner with Trump and just fucking watch the way he roasted everyone for basically, he basically called out everybody for treason then. And I don't think the inauguration even took place yet. Maybe it was right after. He fucking let them up. I should have just played that whole fucking YouTube session of the Al Smith dinner instead of even giving this any of my attention. But that really, this, the White House correspondence is definitely not what I'm going to be covering today. I'm going to be covering, for the most part, Tucker Carlson, obviously. That's a big one, you know. If you're doing weekly recap, that's, you got to start there, you know. Tucker got fired I think Tucker chose to leave Fox News on Monday. Don Lemon got fired by CNN. That was a surprise to him. Tucker chose to leave. And obviously that's a huge, huge story. And then we have Dwayne Wade's in the news. I don't know if you guys follow D. Wade. He's a NBA basketball player who basically is a fucking child groomer. Four-time NBA champion, I believe. Maybe three. I don't fucking know. Who gives a shit? But honestly, guys, I really want you guys to either, if you're watching this through after I'm done recording, or if you're watching it during, either stick around for the Aaron Rodgers part, because the Aaron Rodgers part isn't really about football. It's about who he is and where he falls on the spectrum of the world and what's going on in today's world. You know, because as you know about Aaron Rodgers, this guy's anti-vax in the sense that we know it, right? He's not fucking anti-vax in the sense that the media portrays anti-vax, but he was totally against the COVID vaccine. He was immunized through a lot of the same things that Joe Rogan was immunized with in terms of medicine. So he got a lot of attention then. He was just traded to the Jets this week. So he's gotten big in the news today, but I really want to cover, you know, Rodgers seems like a guy who is basically with us, right? Against the vaccine, hanging out with Robert F. Kennedy, you know, not a shill sheep liberal, but there's also a lot of things we don't know about Rodgers, right? And I'm here to clarify some of that. In my opinion, I'm here to clarify who Rodgers is. And if he can be trusted, can Aaron Rodgers be trusted? And this is coming from, I'm just going to say this outright, a Packer fan since 2001, maybe. I think I became a Packer fan in 01. I was 10 years old. Okay. So Packers were not a big football fan anymore. Near and dear to my heart. Like very, very near and dear to my heart. Brett Favre, one of the best of all time, you know, during the time that I watched. But Aaron Rodgers came in taking over for Brett Favre was like insane, bro. Like Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, right? Tom Brady has 8 Super Bowl rings, right? Was it 8 now or 7? I think it was 7. Brady has 7 rings. Let's just say he has 6 with the Patriots, 1 with Tampa Bay. You want to judge off rings, Brady's the best QB of all time, quarterback of all time to ever play for the NFL. If you want to judge truly on skill set and capability and ability and able to make things happen out of thin air, Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, is the best quarterback of all time. The best quarterback of all time, right? And I'm not going to get into freaking NFL debates or whatever, but I will say this. The New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Bucks took a lot better care of their total roster than the Packers did with Rodgers, which is why, in my opinion, Rodgers fell short. Oh, he made the NFC Championship, but he never gets past it. Well, you know what? They had no business being in the NFC Championship in the first place. And the only reason they were there was because of Aaron Rodgers. So coming from a very, very strong, I don't want to call myself a fan. I respected Rodgers a lot as a football player. But who he is as a person is very troubling to me. Very troubling to me. And I want to dive into that. And then I'll just touch up on a few LGBTQ bullshit, which is what I usually do. I usually save the groomer shit. I usually end off all my live streams with groomer stuff, and I just save it all for the end. Because, yeah, you can cover groomer shit. You can cover groomer stuff for, I could 24/7 live stream groomer stuff, right? Because that's their thing. That's their objective right now is child grooming, right? So if I were to sit here in 2017 and 18 and talk about like Trump, like all night, 24/7 broadcast about, you know, the bullshit lies and the treatment of Donald Trump, I could easily go on for like fucking days, right? That's how child grooming is right now. You can go on about it for freaking days of content, whether it's clips on Twitter, school board meetings, Netflix, Disney, propaganda and sports, whoever's being abortion, Planned Parenthood, grooming, and there's just grooming it from LGBTQ representation from major corporations. You walk into a pet store, Walmart, whatever, you see a flag or whatever city you're in, politics. I mean, there's just too much to go through with LGBTQ, you know? But you know, my concern really, really starts with the IRS. Everyone's just finished paying their taxes, right? Hopefully, I mean, you paid. If you file taxes, you paid your taxes, right? You either got back what was due to you based on you paying them too much money, or you owed because you didn't pay them enough. But either way, everyone who thinks that doing your tax returns means you get some fat check back at the end of the year, sorry, but that's not how it works. It just means that you pay too much and the IRS owes you back what, you know, your overpayment, right? You cut them a check that was too fat. So now they're just cutting it back. So you're not a lot of people I know are like, I can't wait till tax season, dude. I'm going to make like $5,000, as if like that's some kind of income stream. That's not what fucking taxes are, guys. That's definitely not how the IRS views it, because now if you don't even, I mean, this has always been a thing. I watched a clip on Instagram, some tax guy who is big in Michigan. And he mentioned in a post that the highest number of IRS audits are not people who make, let's say, above 30,000-40,000, right? Like the threshold is so low in terms of audit rate. The people who get audited the most are making $20,000 and below. I mean, think about why that is though, right? If you're a schedule, if you're self-employment, right? and you're making money, you're going to deduct a lot of money to get down to that $20,000, right? So the guys who are making $20,000 are usually the ones who are deducting a shit ton of money to show that they're making $20,000. They might have had $100,000, $150,000 worth of revenue. However, at the end of the year, or at the end of their profit and loss, they might have showed $20,000 of net income. That's who the IRS really, really wants to fuck over, because those are the guys expensing the most, right? And those are the audits that really will come back favorable for the IRS. Oh, you made $80,000 worth of expenses? Let's see them. Let's see every fucking receipt you have, every bank statement you have to prove it. And oh, by the way, if you fuck up by like $1,000 here, you're going to pay the money that was due to us, and we're going to penalize you for it because you misfiled to begin with. So that's why people, you know, obviously are hiring CPAs and stuff to do their taxes for them. So the IRS is hiring special agents prepared to use deadly force if needed, and is paying up to $95,000. These guys used to get paid like $60,000 like 5-6 years ago. Special agents. These guys don't make that much money. They're just federal secure jobs with good pensions, right? They're not making a shit ton of money, but now they're making $95,000 for a federal agent. It's because it's probably way more demanding, and they're going to be cracking down more than ever. And this isn't freaking like Breitbart saying, hey guys, between us conservatives, the IRS are coming after us. We got to be careful. No, this is fucking Business Insider, dude. This is basically Forbes right here. Forbes is openly telling you, yo, the IRS is coming to fuck your shit up, right? The Internal Revenue Service is hiring armed special agents across the United States. The agency's criminal investigation unit wants people who are legally allowed to carry guns. They're not fucking playing games, guys. They're ready to bust down your door if you don't comply. These agents must work at least 50 hours weekly and be on call 24/7 during vacations, which explains the $95,000 a year. The jobs are very demanding. The Internal Revenue Service is hiring special agents who shouldn't be afraid of using deadly force. We're talking about Business Insider, guys. This isn't some small gateway pundit, right? Political millennial, whatever the fuck these guys are called. You know, this is Business Insider straight up telling you, you're fucked. You're fucked. And you know who they're coming after. You know, they have information on everyone. They could audit you based off of a fucking opinion that you had on Facebook. All they got to do is find out who you are. And if the CIA and the IRS and the FBI aren't capable of doing that, anyone who says that's a freaking liar. Okay. Anyone who says that is a freaking liar. It is so easy to go after someone you want to audit. And it has could have and they don't have to give you a fucking reason to audit you. They do not have to give you a reason to audit you. I hope you guys know that. I've known people who've been audited before and they came out okay, right? Everyone gets audited and they don't tell you. You tell them, why am I being audited? They'll say, I can't really disclose why you're being audited, right? What I can tell you is this information is missing or the information is high, but I can't tell you exactly why you're being audited. She didn't, you know, these people don't have to tell you anything, bro. They can just say, you expensed this, this, and this, and these accounts. Show me the proof. Show me the transactions. Did they happen or not? And if you say no, you're fucked. And if they feel like it's criminal, okay, a lot of it will be civil, right? Civil fines and penalties and interest. Pay what's due. We're going to hit you with some penalties and interest because you're late on your payment technically, right? But no, that's not all that happens. If they see trends, if they see anything that they feel like is a trend and they can convince a judge it's a trend, the IRS will certainly, certainly indict you for it through the U.S. Attorney's Office. So, yeah, we should be very, very afraid of the IRS. Criminal investigation, the law enforcement branch of the IRS is looking for agents across the U.S. who can combine accounting skills with law enforcement skills to investigate financial crimes, according to a job posting on its website. Yeah, they need Ben Affleck. Special agents are duly sworn law enforcement officers who are trained to follow the money. These agents investigate financial crimes, money laundering, tax-related identity theft, terrorist financing efforts. They are the only IRS workers who are permitted to carry and use firearms. You know, I just find it funny that these fucking idiotic low-level liberals are after whoever they want to go after in terms of being a billionaire, in terms of tax returns, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, they'll bring that to light. But what about all the other billionaires? What about Bill Gates, right? Why don't we look at his tax returns, right? No. These liberals are backing up indicting selective in audits between Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and a bunch of people who are making an honest living, right? The guys at the top are never being fucking audited unless they're playing the fucking game. Required to work a minimum of 50 hours a week, always on call, even during vacations and weekends. These agencies be fit so they can effectively respond to life-threatening situations per the listing. They will conduct arrests, search warrants, and other dangerous assignments, but most importantly, they must legally allowed to carry a gun, must be prepared to protect themselves or others from physical attacks at any time without warning, and use firearms in life-threatening situations, and shouldn't be afraid to use force up to and including the use of deadly force. According to a posting, the IRS is seeking agents in all 50 states. The posting lists 360 vacancies between $52,000 and $94,000. Must be between 21 and 37, and they did not respond from a comment from the insider. So there you have it, guys. Now you fucking know. The IRS, the very dangerous IRS, is in one way or the other, gonna fucking come after you. A lot of speculation. Let's move on from the IRS. A lot of, I haven't gotten to Tucker Carlson yet, but let's move on from the IRS. Let's move on to Michelle Obama. Newt Gingrich seems to think that Michelle Obama will be running for president. You guys believe that shit? I have a hard time believing that.
Hey, so check it out. This is an emergency sleeping bag. These things normally cost $30, and during the winter...
...announcement that he and Vice President Kamala Harris will be seeking a second term in 2024. If Biden does win re-election next year, he will leave the Oval Office in 2027 at the age of 86 years old. It comes as a new Fox News poll shows the president receiving negative marks across the board from voters on immigration, on China, and on the economy. The president's re-election announcement is also coming just one day after Susan Rice decided to depart the White House. Is it a coincidence that the former head of domestic policy, Susan Rice, leaves the administration right before Biden makes such an important announcement? Joining me right now with more is former Speaker of the House and Fox News contributor, Newt Gingrich. And Newt, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for being here.
It's good to be with you.
I want to talk to you about...
I actually thought...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I actually thought the most amazing video of the week for Biden was when he could not remember that he had been in Ireland.
Right.
Yeah. And that he's stumbling around. Oh, what? Where was it that I was at? I mean, he seems to be steadily getting more forgetful, and that's a pretty weak base on which to run for president.
Yeah, we're all watching it. It's not just the age. The number is not what's important. It's his mental capacity, and we are all watching it decline every single day. Newt, I want to get your take on Anthony Blinken as well in a second, but do you believe that Susan Rice leaves the White House the day before Biden makes this announcement is a coincidence? I mean, I feel that this is very significant. I don't know if she's going to be managing somebody else's campaign, if she's going to run to challenge Biden. What do you think's going on here? But clearly, Democrats are divided over Biden's reelection bid.
Well, I think at a minimum, it probably is a sign that she said, don't do it. And he said, I'm doing it anyway. And I think she just didn't want to be part of a Biden reelection. And I also think that I was very struck when Mark Halperin in his Wide World of News ran the video of Michelle Obama on stage with Bruce Springsteen. She's playing a tambourine. She recently had 9,000 people at an event with Oprah in Los Angeles. I think Republicans had better pay significant attention to Michelle Obama. I hadn't believed that until I saw her on stage with Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. I thought, you know, this is not a person who's hiding. So it's conceivable that Susan Rice and others are beginning to say they're not going to be part of some kamikaze reelection campaign with a guy who can't remember what he did yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the video as well on Twitter, and apparently they're traveling with Steven Spielberg and his wife. And yes, she got up on stage again, sparking my questions about Susan Rice stepping down. Announcement.
Yeah, so apparently Michelle Obama's speculation that she could run for president. She can represent the minority of trans. a lot of people are obviously on the train of Michelle being a dude. But it's very possible. But her being president, dude, there's nothing presidential about that fucking woman. All right. I'm a take her at face value right now and call her a woman. There's nothing presidential about Michelle Obama. All right, and no one needs any Obamas in the White House anymore. Okay, we don't need that fucking fake family representing the United States of America. We already know what they've done to the destructive behavior over here and in the Middle East. The United States was slowly becoming as irrespectable as it is right now. But the problem is no one wanted to acknowledge it, because if you start saying shit about Obama back in the day, you were just racist. Oh, is it because he's black? He can't be a good president? Nah, man. It's because he fucking is a communist. Safe to say. Speaking of... Speaking of terrorists... good segue. I'm just playing. But Trump did have some stuff to say about the Muslim brothers.
And I will restore my travel ban to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of our country. You saw what happened. 4 years. 4 years we went. 4 years. You saw that, right? We were very tough on that. We don't want our buildings blown up. We don't want to have problems. The Biden out of here.
I'm so conflicted on this because there's so much to this, right? First of all, 4 years. I think Trump's initial Muslim ban was, I think, 9 countries. And then it was shot down by SCOTUS to become about 5 countries, all which totaled up to less than 2 million. Oh, no, less than... Oh, I think it was less than 2 million Muslims were banned, right? Less than 2 million Muslims were banned. Well, guess what, guys? Take a guess at how many Muslims there are in the world. 2 billion. So 10%, right? And from very specific countries. So from countries like Pakistan, the first highest Muslim population, maybe after India, I don't know. Pakistan has top 5 highest populations in general, I believe, but also top, I don't know, one of the biggest Muslim, everyone was allowed to come to the United States from Pakistan, guys. Every single person. Why is that? Well, clearly the ban was strategic and military intel, right? It wasn't a Muslim thing. They were Muslim countries, but it wasn't a 100% Muslim thing. So get that through your fucking head if you're just that's how you're deciding to vote for Trump or not. The other thing is that 4 years, buildings didn't get blown up. I mean, that was less about the ban than it was George Bush. George Bush was the reason why those buildings got blown up solely. Him and his dad. Okay. It's not like that a travel ban would do. It was a lack of intel that was neglected because it was deliberate. And we'll get into 9/11 because Tucker's going to talk about it even more. But 9/11 was a bullshit job. So, I mean, why don't you... Trump needs to acknowledge that at some point, right? If he's going to acknowledge the Muslim countries, he needs to start acknowledging the CIA's influence in the Middle East and what that created and what that is bringing into a lot of Western countries, right? So a lot of people weren't happy about that. I personally could give a shit. Like, it's understandable that 10% wasn't allowed to, and if you are equating that as 100%, oh, he hates all of Muslims, then you're just clearly, you're too emotional for this conversation. You're too emotional for this conversation. I haven't even got, it's 35 minutes in, and I haven't even gotten to the freaking one of the main topics. I'm going to skip Dwayne Wade leaving Florida for now. We'll push that to the groomer stuff at the end. Let's get straight in. Fucking Justin Jones. Yeah, we'll push that too. He's a whack job. I'm not going to talk about him right now either. Let's look at Tucker freaking Carlson, man. What did Tucker have to say after losing, or maybe choosing to lose his position on Fox News?
Good evening, it's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country, kind and decent people, people who really care about what's true, and a bunch of hilarious people also, a lot of those. It's gotta be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink. And they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Man, Tucker nailed it on so many levels. First of all, he calls out the Uniparty, right? The Democratic and Republican Party. I mean, I love that we're all Republicans out here, and the Republican values, I agree with them. But the Republican politicians, dude, bunch of shit-ons, man. They were complicit in destroying this country with the Democratic Party over the past 40 years. Back to JFK, pretty much, right? So he calls out the Uniparty, which was sweet. Big. For Tucker Carlson. I love Tucker Carlson's awakening, by the way. He's had such a unique, great awakening. You know, like all of us have had like a great awakening, right? Where we're like, holy shit. Like, you know, you find the guy next to you and you're trying to tell him and they're like, dude, like, I don't care about any of this stuff. Stop talking to me. But like, Tucker's is unique in the sense where he was like partaking in the delivery of the news. While it's almost like mid-sentence in a segment, he's like covering Donald Trump in like 2017 and his light bulb goes off. He's like, what the fuck am I talking about here, guys? Like something insane is happening in this country. And I think Tucker, his perspective is very unique. And I think I learned that in his interview with the Nelk Boys on the Full Send podcast was that like he basically had an awakening while partaking in the, you know, the media, which is for the most part the problem. And I don't know if Tucker was ever the problem, but he kind of realized it through his job versus like me watching Sean Hannity lose his shit and like, holy shit, you know, like I can't believe this is all happening in this country. So very important that Tucker put that out there. And, you know, it's interesting. And now we're kind of looking back at some of Tucker's old segments and what he kind of brought to light and some of his encounters with his colleagues. And we see things like this, and it kind of shocks me.
John Hannity takes over from New York.
People can make money. They provide goods and services people want, need, and desire. That's America. It's called freedom, capitalism. And as long as it's honest, right? People decide. All right, Tucker, great show.
So basically, that's a segment where Tucker calls out Jeff Bezos during the pandemic for basically major corporations getting rich while the rest of us get poor during the pandemic, right? We were getting fucking $600 stimulus checks, right? Which I don't agree with, but that was how bad it was for some of us that we needed those checks. Whereas in major corporations like Amazon became fucking loaded because no one wanted to go to the store. No one wanted to deal with anybody. Everyone just, I don't even know how Amazon functioned, but they were able to, right? And if you live in any major city, you kind of see how large their facilities are. So Tucker brings that up. And as he's closing out, kind of transitioning into Hannity's show, Hannity completely exposes himself once again.
John Hannity takes over from New York.
People can make money. They provide goods and services people want, need, and desire. That's America. It's called freedom, capitalism.
I love the face. Look at Tucker's face. He's like, what the fuck are you talking? Who do you represent? You freaking special interest comb over asshole. You can't trust a guy with a chin like Sean Hannity.
And as long as it's honest, right? People decide. All right, Tucker, great show.
Tucker's so pissed. He's like, dude, you're one of them. That is, I think Tucker's like, that's what I meant by Tucker being awakened during his show. Like he would have encounters like this and be like, holy shit. Like I'm dealing with a bunch of cabal actors, man. Cabal actors. And of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene has some shit to say. She seems to be happy about it.
Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. What I will say, though, is while I'm very glad that the person that was arguably responsible for some of the most amounts of death threats and violent threats, not just to my office, but to plenty of people across the country. I also kind of feel like I'm like waiting for the cutscene at the end of a Marvel movie after all the credits have rolled. And then you see like the villain's like hand reemerge out to grip over like the end of a building or something. But deplatforming works and it is important. And there you go. Good things can happen. Tucker Carlson.
So there's AOC. I didn't call her MTG, did I? No, I called her AOC. There's AOC for you. basically, basically calling out freedom of speech and saying that it should not exist. And that anyone like Tucker Carlson who does exercise their freedom of speech should be deplatformed. Or anyone who disagrees with her viewpoint, right? So that's the ideology of someone like this fucking cartoon character over here, created in a lab. So yeah, Tucker Carlson, I mean, wherever this guy ends up, I mean, he has 23 or 24 million views on the Twitter video, which is huge. More views than he's been, I mean, the Fox ratings suck. I think a lot of people gave up on basic cable as is, and everyone's watching shit on YouTube now. Everyone's watching Real America's Voice or OAN, you know, even though sometimes those guys even do some dumb shit, but they're still more trustworthy. Or you just tune into, you know, a podcast at the end of the day and you get your news recap. You know, Dinesh D'Souza or what's that dude's name? I don't even remember his name. Timcast. Apparently people, I never really watch a show, but like people watch that guy. You know, you can just tune into someone like that, you know, or Viva Frey, who's pretty good on Rumble. Why not? You know, versus Fox News getting 3 million views every night. It's a joke. I mean, no one's going to tune in. I mean, basic cable fucking blows anyway. But Arena, just to touch up on this real quick, transitioning from Tucker, staying on Tucker, but into Hollywood. Rainn Wilson, the Office star Rainn Wilson, says he agrees with almost everything Tucker Carlson said in recent video. That's Dwight from The Office, if you guys don't know. The reason I found this interesting is Dwight also came out and said that I'm going to call him fucking Dwight. By the way, I'm not going to call him by his fucking dumbass name. Dwight came out and said that, or Dwight, I'm going to call him Dwight, that The Last of Us was anti-Christian, right? Which it was. I watched some of the episodes because I played the game, and very anti-Christian. They had one Christian group in there and they made them fucking cult, like, right? Like a cult that was like cannibals, basically. That's what they did. They literally made Christians into cannibals in The Last of Us. And Rainn Wilson had something, or Dwight had something to say about that as well, right? So the guy's like apparently some like Christian, you know, spokesperson out of Hollywood all of a sudden. And he said, I never thought I would agree on with Tucker Carlson on almost everything he's saying. But he's saying he did agree. So where does this guy stand? Because the last I heard of Rainn Wilson was the dude was like very clearly like had some pedophile history. Right? First of all, he defended James Gunn. I could not find it. Like I could find the tweets. Through a video, but it was not going to be, the definition on the video was not good enough for me to show you the tweets. But basically, Rainn Wilson's history on Twitter is disgusting. I mean, this guy shows or was saying the most disgusting thing about children, about cannibalism. And we're not talking like one or two tweets that may have just been misunderstood. We're talking like 50 freaking tweets. Right. Or like, and they were all taken down, all of them. Right. And he was the first one to come out and defend James Gunn, who had the same thing happen to him. Who is still directing the movie, by the way, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Think about that. Fucking guy openly admits he's a pedophile on Twitter, removes the posts, and gets rehired after being fired for a blockbuster Marvel movie. It just comes to show you, like, they're fucking with us, guys. They're fucking with us. They're showing that these people are who they're showing their true colors, and they're now they're forcing them back into your society, and they're basically proving to us, like, hey, you guys are so stupid that we'll prove to you that someone's a sick fuck, and then we'll bring them back, and you'll still go watch their movie because you guys have that little self-control. That's their idea, like mentality regarding this stuff. I don't even, should I get into, I want to skip this shit, but I don't even want to talk about, oh yeah, well, he does talk about Tucker. So we'll stay on Tucker, but I just want to, that was a little side, you know, sidetracking going into Rainn Wilson and what kind of character he is. We're moving in on certain celebrities and athletes today. Because they can't get away with the fucking shit that they pull.
Proving I haven't learned a damn thing. I want everybody to have fun tonight, but please be safe. If you find yourself disoriented or confused, it's either you're drunk or Marjorie Taylor Greene. Cam, proving I haven't.
Not the right clip, but basically there was a clip that he shits on Tucker Carlson, which I have somewhere. But regardless, I have more Tucker clips of Tucker just proving what kind of person he is and why they got rid of him.
Last thing I'll say is, like, if they're not offended by craziness, they're not offended by conspiracy. If you go on TV tonight and say, I think the earth is flat, people just laugh at you. They don't care if you think the earth is flat. It's not a threat to anyone. But if you say, like, what actually happened with Building 7? Like, that is weird, right? It doesn't, like, what
right,
is that?
Right.
If you were to say something like that on television, they'd flip out. They would flip out. So you'd, like, lose your job over that. Why? It's my country.
Right.
Is it an attack on my country? Can I ask it? Like, I don't really understand. Do buildings actually collapse? No, maybe they do. I don't know. But, like, why can't I ask questions about that? Anything you're not allowed to ask questions about is something you should be asking more questions about. As far as I'm concerned. Last thing I'll say is, like,
see, that's where I kind of, I think it's funny that Tucker Carlson, he kind of made fun of himself for this, but he's still coming to realizations, right? Like, we know this already. We know this. I think most of us know, like, yeah, we can't talk about anything that they want to hide because the truth implicates all of them, right? Criminally. So Tucker's kind of putting all the pieces together. I'm sure he knows all of this, but he's got to understand the big, or he's got to elaborate on the big picture a little bit better, either mentally or just verbally. But yeah, that's the idea. I'm going to skip over to Aaron Rodgers. I really want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, guys. Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to get freaking smoked for this one. All right. By the way, I value my life, and you know, I really just want to talk about this fella. You know, Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, a lot of people know him in the conservative movement as the guy who stood up to the NFL in the sense that he did not get vaccinated, and he did not disclose it initially. He just said he was immunized, but in reality, you know, he was on certain prophylactics and stupid shit like that. That, and not stupid, but like good stuff, you know, like ivermectin. And if you were to get sick, and right. And he made the whole COVID toe joke. And I thought Aaron was freaking hilarious about the whole thing. But, you know, I've always noticed certain things about Aaron Rodgers that always did not sit well with me and who he is. And more recent than ever, Aaron Rodgers has kind of exposed himself as a member of the cabal, right? In one way or the other. He might be with us on the vaccines. He might be with us on Epstein. And listen, if you're with us on that stuff, I will take you and I will accept that we got to work on this together. Whatever fucking side occult that you belong to, like, that's between you guys. Like, I really don't want to, but I do have to also acknowledge certain things about Aaron Rodgers, right? This guy is, he's really, really not the most, you just got to see what I see. First of all, the hand symbols. You put those hand symbols up, I think you're saying I love you. But as we connect the dots on Rodgers a little bit more and more and more, we start realizing there's more than that. There's more than that to Aaron Rodgers. And it started with me. I started, first of all, he got a tattoo on his forearm. I didn't grab that picture. I don't want to get too into it. Pyramid, eye, Illuminati, whatever. You guys, you're into that shit, that's you. Then he does a drug called ayahuasca, which got a lot of attention, in which he took this drug and it helped him give him clarity of mind a couple years ago or three, whatever, years ago. And that's what he kind of, from a spiritual standpoint, relies on for clarity in his mind versus, like, you know, I think some of us know Aaron Rodgers seems like an atheist. And the person who he's getting, and he also does a darkness retreat before getting traded to the Jets, right? Which is, you know, very not in tune with religion or spirituality or God. Again, it's a very, I don't want to say satanic. It's just, it's dark. It's weird, right? We don't understand what these rituals really are. A lot of them do have double meaning, and a lot of people, a lot of tribes, a lot of cultures did these rituals for a specific reason. And it wasn't just as simple as meditation. There was some kind of ritualistic culture to it. And the person that's kind of enabled Rogers on all this shit is a guy named Aubrey Marcus, right? Who in his, if you want to look up Freemason logo, go ahead and compare the Freemason logo to Aubrey Marcus. Just go ahead and Google Freemason logo right now and then look at Aubrey Marcus's logo. And what you'll see is Aubrey Marcus is clearly, you know, some kind of mentor to Aaron Rodgers in this regard. Okay. And, so whatever, I took that at face value. I'm like, you know what, Rogers, if you want to hang out with these guys, that's cool. You know, you're your own man. That's who you are. And then he got traded to the Jets, as I just shared with you. And I couldn't help but notice something about him being traded to the Jets was that he changed his number. And of course, it has a backstory. Joe Namath didn't want his number anymore, of number 12. And I thought to myself, okay, I mean, the number 12 isn't that big of a deal. You know, take your number 8. You had it at Cal. But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, yo, you know what else that number 8 represents from, you know, kind of ritualistic occultic society? It's a vertical infinity sign. And I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm overthinking it, dude. That was his old number at Cal. Like, it's just a fucking infinity sign. Or it's just the number 8. Like, it's cool. He went back to his old number, right? I swear to God, you can't make this shit up, what I'm about to show you guys. You cannot make this shit up. So the New York Jets Twitter account the other day posts, and let me see if I can zoom in a bit here, posts Boys Night Out. Right? Aaron Rodgers with a couple of members of the New York Rangers wearing all black, him and his buddy, right? Cool. They had a fun night at the Rangers. Was it the Rangers game? No, the fucking basketball game? I don't fucking know. I think it was a Rangers game. They're wearing hockey jerseys. I really don't know who the fuck these guys are. Either way, Rodgers retweets the post, and lo and behold, he puts two planes, an infinity logo, and a heart. You cannot make this shit up, guys. You can't make this shit up. After, I'm not joking when I thought the eight was this. I thought this way before this. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, man. Rogers, like, that's a giveaway for me. Rogers, like, you're indulging too much into this culture. So I'm like, you know, is there anything off about this picture? And I thought to myself, nah. It looks like a normal picture outside of he's wearing all black. And I know black is, you know, sometimes said to be worn by witches, but whatever. I looked for the hand logos. I saw this hand logo here on the right. I think that's his former teammate, Alan Lazard. He's with him again now. Strange logo. You know, why would you do that with your fingers? Whatever. I'm not going to get too deep into it. But then I saw Alan Lazard's pants. And lo and behold, the dude has 5 fucking logos on his pants, right? 5 freaking logos. But, you know, it took me a while to figure out what the hell they were. And I looked closely. I zoomed in. And lo and behold, dude. Hold on. Can I zoom in? If you look closely, another fucking Mason sign, right? Another, like I said, Aubrey Marcus, this guy's pants, and the Mason logo, all tied to Aaron Rodgers, all in a sequence, right? I look for this shit because I'm stupid. I might get whacked for this one. So there you have a few connections, right? And not to get too deep into it, but, you know, Kanye West had some things to say about these types of things and who and what happens and these types of scenarios. And I just figured I'd share what this was big when he said.
That's scary. They can't control you. They can't. They try to suppress you, but that's how they try to categorize.
They can't control me. You get what I'm saying? That I serve. My mom ain't here. My mama was sacrificed.
Me too.
You understand?
Yeah. I appreciate you.
Michael Jordan. What about him? His daddy, right? Now in Hollywood, a lot of people come up missing. Feels like it might be a lot of that in order to control trauma. They could control Shaq. They could control Charles Barkley. They could control LeBron James. They could control Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Not you.
Send none of y'all Meek Mills, y'all Puffies, y'all Lil Boozy, none of these names, none of these people that have to listen to y'all because they're dealing with, they have legal. I never killed nobody.
Damn. That's crazy. Oh, yeah. You guys know I use StreamYard, huh? Great. Good for you. So, I, you know, obviously, if you're into these types of occultic groups, that's what's expected out of you, right? As Kanye said. And I thought to myself, I'm like, you know, Rogers is in that group, but like, who the hell did he potentially, you know, there was no one in his life that was sacrificed, right? And then I thought to myself, I'm like, wait, but what if it doesn't really necessarily mean like they get like murdered or killed off? What if it's something different? And for anyone who knows Aaron Rodgers, dude, is that he completely cut off his family after winning the Super Bowl. Like completely. It's been more than 12 years. Aaron Rodgers has not spoken to his family at all, who is said to be a white Christian conservative family. And Aaron Rodgers has kind of delved into this atheistic, kind of rebellious, but also complicit behavior, and just completely abandoned his family. And I don't know what to say about the guy, but just a few things I noticed. I hope you guys find that stuff interesting, because I definitely connect those dots about what groups certain people belong to. And of course, when he did go to the game, who's he standing right next to? Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? The freaking spokesperson for pagan like thoughts and studies, right? This guy doesn't have an ounce of spirituality in him. This guy's a big believer in all this is an accident, right? So just to kind of know, Aaron Rodgers, you're my friend when you call out Epstein. You're my friend when it comes to freaking, you know, calling out the vaccine. But I don't know what kind of groups you belong to, and I don't want to know at the end of the day. So whatever that is, leave it to yourself. All right, dude, let's get into the groomer stuff, because it's already been an hour, and there's always plenty of groomer stuff to go through. Nearly 40% of U.S. Gen Zs, 30% young Christians of the 40% identify as LGBTQ. Poll shows. First of all, I don't think that's true, but if that's true, that's super fucked up. 40% is identifying. I mean, first of all, we don't know what LGBTQ is really, because they've covered such a broad spectrum. I mean, this could be someone who just purely doesn't believe in gender, whether or not they believe they're a male or female and they believe in God and are conservative. Like, that could be someone thrown under the category. Or Gen Z is totally fucked. Because I remember seeing, I think it was Crowder, who's been in the news lately because he's been berating his wife. Crowder fucking said that Gen Z is the most conservative, statistically the most conservative demographic in this country today. So, or maybe even historically. So, if the other 60% is conservative, I'll be happy, but I doubt it because there's probably a bunch of people who don't even identify as moderate or conservative or whatever. So it's very possible that Gen Z is 40% LGBTQ. And if that's the case, I mean, the fight's just started. The battle has just begun. Just say that much. Let's read a little bit into this, though. 30% of millennials, let's make this big for you guys. I want you guys to read with me. Millennials identify as LGBTQ, according to a soon-to-be-released study that is based on scientific polling data. Among Christians, the numbers were lower, but only slightly, with just under 30% of millennial Christians identifying as LGBTQ. Is that fucking possible, guys? There's no freaking way. This has got to be propaganda. The portion of the population that describes itself as gay is varied. See, as I said, varied. From 10% based on research of Alfred Kinsey and widely promoted by the National Gay Task Force in 1977 to less than 6% in a recent Gallup poll. The pollster who worked on the new study, George Barna, attributes the unusually high number he found to social media and news media coverage that makes it safe and cool for young Americans. So, like, LGBTQ is actually trending, guys? Because I don't know any normal person who like, unless you are into having a batshit crazy partner or you want to impress batshit crazy people, why would you want to use this as a method of, like, to be trending or to show off to anybody? It's a subset of a larger issue that is a generation where 3 out of 4 are searching for meaning. Yeah, no thanks to COVID-19, freaking liberal propaganda and a godless society and fatherless homes. Of course that's the fucking case. It's COVID. I mean, JFK Jr., RFK Jr., man. I don't agree with his ideology that Trump is the reason, but I do agree that COVID and the lockdowns fucked an entire generation. You talk to Gen Z and you will, I mean, if you're above like 25, 26, and you talk to Gen Z, you're like, who the fuck? What do you even know how to communicate? This is a group that doesn't have a reason to get out of a bed in the morning, meaning they have no purpose, apparently. Therefore, the LGBTQ identity gives them comfort. A lot of this generation claim to be moving in that direction, but there's a big difference between claiming the identity and living the lifestyle. The poll looked at so-called millennials defined as someone born from 1984 to 2002, which is about 78 million individuals, representing a quarter of the U.S. population. Among millennials, 30%. That's my fucking group. Fuck. Dumb, man. This is why I have a hard enough people trying to convince my friends and family that they're fucking stupid when it comes to politics and their ideologies. 30% of them are identifying as LGBTQ. Imagine the other 30% that are not, you know, who are moderate, that just don't give a shit about anything. When the researchers broke out the youngest group, 18 to 24, which some call Gen Z, this is where they found the 40%. Fuck, man. This is disgusting. Hold on. What's this, though? This is interesting. Barna's poll is based on a sampling of 600 respondents. I mean, that can be easily manipulated based off 600 people. 6 responses were allowed, with 1 garnering yes, searching for purpose in your life, followed by 70% who answered, believe all religious faiths of equal value. Interesting. An American patriot was next at 55%. See, here we go. Followed by 54%. Wait, how's the math checking out here? If 55% said American patriot, then how did 54 answered often feel anxious? Oh, maybe you can choose more than one. And 52 who answered deeply committed to practicing. So what they're not telling you at the same time is that American patriot's higher than everything, right? So yeah, LGBTQ's, and I think personally LGBTQ is going to fade into the dust as long as the cabal and the globalist idiots continue that the pathway that they're on. With LGBTQ, everyone's gonna fucking hate this ideology. it's going to be cool to ditch it at a certain point because it's how fucking dumb it is, right? So, yeah, keep that in mind, guys. 55% of people identified as American Patriot. Let's fucking go. The youth, maybe Crowder was right, even though he berates his wife. Just kidding. Prefer socialism to capitalism was next at 48%. Fuck, man. That's high. LGBTQ 30%. The order is similar among the 18 to 24 demographic. That has LGBTQ 9 percentage points higher. It fits into a larger narrative. Also, a high percent of millennial Christians, 27%, and born again millennial Christians, 20%, describe themselves as LGBTQ. What the fuck? I don't believe this. I mean, I don't know, though. I heard there's a lot of liberal churches, and maybe someone can elaborate on this. But if there's a lot of liberal churches, then where the fuck are the conservative churches and protests? And I just don't see any of this shit. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not paying enough attention. They don't buy into the Bible. They don't trust God. They don't believe in Jesus. And politics have codified that into law. How does the Second Amendment have to do with the Bible or free speech or the Constitution that they're trying to abolish, basically? What does it have to do with the Bible? I mean, I get it. It's based off like Christian beliefs and in terms of the fact that we have those rights, right? But like, can you name one part in the Bible that says that Christians need to own a weapon? No. But does that mean that our rights should be taken away to be able to do so? Fuck no. See, that's the arguments that they fail to even consider. They just throw it all on this blanket bullshit argument that makes no freaking sense. No freaking sense. Touch up on this real quick. You know, I went to a dinner the other day, Saturday. Christina Caramo was there. She gave a speech. Who's a new MIGOP chair? She ran for Secretary of State. Follow her on Twitter. She's the real deal. I mean, Trump endorsed her for fucking MIGOP chair. No, sorry, he didn't endorse her, but when she won, he congratulated her and he likes her a lot. Apparently, she follows the QAnons. Can you believe that? Christina Caramo, QAnons? No, seriously, Michigan, man, what the fuck's going on here? CCP tied battery plant pushed by Democrats to be built next to the third largest watershed in Michigan. Here we go. Fucking Gretchen Whitmer, a Chinese asset, confirmed. Here we go. Will reportedly consume twice the amount of water per day as major water bottling plant. Are you shitting me? Are you shitting me? The approval of funds for the controversial CCP-connected battery manufacturing company, Goshen, has been met with contempt by Green Township, Michigan, and surrounding communities. In addition to opposing a Chinese company sworn allegiance to CCP, residents across Michigan are very concerned about the environmental impact on West Michigan residents. Look at this fucking bitch. Michigan's radical Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who recently attended World Economic Forum. I didn't even know she attended that slimy ass hoe. Calls the plan to build a Chinese factory in Michigan the biggest ever economic development project in Michigan while ignoring environmental impact or potential security risks for the community. So this is, dude, you know that Detroit, for those who don't know, has been bought out by the Chinese. Like, we don't know who owns half the buildings in Detroit. We know Dan Gilbert owns like 20% of them. The Illich family owns like 5% of them, right? They own the major best. Who owns fucking these hundreds of skyscrapers in Detroit? Who owns them? Tell me. I know. It's Chinese. It's freaking infiltrators, man. The Chinese have been buying into Detroit for the longest time, and now they're bringing it up because it's an environmental issue. But, I mean, this has been happening for a long time. Mike Dugan, the mayor of Detroit, is just a Gretchen Whitmer pawn. He's not as bad as Brandon Johnson in Chicago, but he's definitely a tool for the fucking Democrats. And if shit started happening in Detroit that happened in Chicago, that dude would be as complicit as Brandon Johnson and Lori Lightfoot were. Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time in Detroit. Goshen Global President Chuck Thielen responded to concerns of Michigan residents about the company's ties to the CCP in a statement. He reiterates that Goshen High Tech is a publicly traded international company with a diverse board of directors, including citizens from Germany, the USA, and China. Fuck you. What a, like, dumb bullshit, like, statement. That doesn't really change anything. The official statement from the company is that within Goshen, which is responsible for the Big Rapids plant ownership, there is no CCP organizational influence. No person on the team is a CCP member. There is no CCP. Karamo talked about this yesterday. This is why I had to bring this article into it. But Gretchen Whitmer is just bringing the CCP into Michigan. And I can't believe Michigan, man. Like, how did we go from Trump winning to Trump fake losing because he won Michigan to... It's become a haven for liberalism, right? And I told this to my brother the other day. I'm like, would you be surprised? Would you be surprised if Michigan and other conservative states, because Michigan was a conservative state just 7 years ago, allegedly wasn't again after in 2020. Would you be surprised if they incentivized people from other states behind closed doors, such as San Francisco, Seattle, to work and bring these people into more conservative states like Michigan? Because when I go to the grocery store, when I'm in Wayne County and I go to a grocery store and I'm in the public eye, I see a bunch of freaks now. You know, I see a bunch of freaks. And I'm like, where the fuck did these people come from? In 2016, when Trump won, dude, everyone was like not conservative, but they were like normal at least, right? They weren't freaks with freaking piercings going into one eye, out the other eye. You know, their hair wasn't freaking whacked out. Red, purple, green, fat, lazy, socialists, communists, feminists. Like, there wasn't a lot of that shit. Now you walk around, you go to fucking Detroit, you go to certain parts of Wayne County, you go to Royal Oak. Oh my God, Royal Oak. That's Oakland County. But, oh my, these Royal Oak and Ferndale in Michigan and Oakland County are demonic hubs, right? You're in mini San Francisco with less homeless people because it's more of an urban area than a city. But I mean, they've basically flocked these people, collected them, and said, "Hey, this is our new home." And if you look up a politician named Mallory McMarrow, who's a state senator out of Royal Oak, Michigan, bitch got into an argument with me on Twitter. Thought she was making good points. I'm like, and I told her by the end of the conversation, I'm like, oh, congratulations, you won an election in a place where most people wouldn't accept those people's rights and fucking ideology. So you had you found the only hub, the easiest hub that would cater to your fucking demonic beliefs, and you got voted in. Congratulations. Crazy bitch. Yeah, so the kids are gay. And Gretchen selling our country over to the CCP, or sorry, state over to the CCP, which tells you if Gretchen was ever VP or president, she would follow, you know, the path of fuckhead Joe Biden. Let's stay on the groomer shit. Dwayne Wade, the world's most famous groomer, right? I think that's a fair assessment. Oh, we got a comment from El Jangulo, Luke 22:36. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that had no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Thanks for the comment, Mr. Jangulo. It looks like to be a Bible verse. I really appreciate that. Dwayne Wade, guys. Fucking the world's most famous, maybe the most richest groomer who, you know, played for the Miami Heat back in the day, chose to sell his house in Florida because state won't accept his transgender child. The one that he groomed, by the way, right? The guy fucking groomed as a former basketball player, his son to become a little girl. I think her name's like Zaya or something. revealed that he sold his longtime Florida over a decade because he believed that state was not accepting his transgender kid. Instead, he's now living in California full time. The 41-year-old basketball player and his wife, Gabrielle Union, who's a dude. No, I'm just kidding. She's probably a woman. Who knows? Traded their massive waterfront Miami home for a whopping $22 million back in 21, 2 years after it hit. So they took a loss, dude. Motherfucker lost. Ha! D-Way lost $10 million. Made up six. I don't care about the fucking house, guys. I just want to know more about what a fucking groomer he is. It's a nice house. Don't get me wrong. You're in Miami. You're a basketball player. Oh, this article is all about the fucking house. I didn't read this before because I want to read it with you guys. Oh, here we go. The petition is about empowering Zaya to live her truth. A November court document said regarding Zaya, who has then identified a female since the age of 12. You fucking Dwayne Wade, you're a pedophile. You think that your son can choose to be a woman and be sexually attracted to whatever because they chose to be a woman at a certain age? A court order affirming her identity will allow Zaya to live more comfortably and honestly in aspects of her life. From simple introductions and food orders to applying a driver's license and filling out college applications, Wade added. This is what this is about? That there's certain institutions that are willing to go along with your charade? This is all it's about. Because it's a fucking biological lie, right? Now the couple Zaya and their 4-year-old daughter, Kavia James, reside in Hidden Hills, California. Yeah, you should have a great time there. Fucking find some Hollywood swingers. This new home comprises 3 levels. I don't care about the house. Dwayne Wade is a fucking groomer. End of that story. I used to have respect for that dude. I mean, I used to be a big, not a big basketball fan, but a fairly strong one to some degree. Speaking of identifying, is something you're not.
Councilman is coming out as transgender and a woman of color. Delaware County Councilman Ryan Webb announced that he now identifies as an Indian American woman. Since that announcement, he's received some support, but a lot of backlash, many calling him childish, despicable, even calling for things like execution. In a statement Webb gave to IT8, he says, quote, it is a...
Bro! Dude, this guy's a fucking genius. Hold on. Please. Where is it? They showed... Oh, yeah. That's fucking awesome. All right, this dude's a fucking genius, man. I thought he was a major troll. This is a fucking phenomenal picture.
In a statement Webb gave to IT8, he says, quote, it is unfortunate that I cannot simply be given the same space and respect to explore my identity that so many of those targeting me demand for themselves. It's possible I may change my mind down the road. The process of identity exploration is complex, and oftentimes at the end of our personal journey, we end right back where we started. Webb goes on to tell IT8, this is just his true, authentic self. A councilman is...
Dude, this guy... Oh my God, this dude's a master troll, man. Master troll. I love it. That's beautiful. I mean, I think it's a troll, and if it is, it's fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. As I said, guys, in the beginning of the show, like, when it comes to covering groomer stuff, like, you have content. I could make this show all about groomer stuff going around the country. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Groomer is like I said in the beginning, it trends more than Donald Trump did in 2017, 18, and 19, right? So there's no shortage of disgustingness that we're witnessing in this country. And it's just a tragedy. 27 Colorado Democrats vote against making indecent exposure to minors a felony. So basically, if you commit indecent exposure, these politicians believe that it should not be a felony. and then someone posted, I think there's a certain Twitter account that said, oh, tell me how Democrats aren't pedophiles again, when this is how you guys fucking protect pedophiles, right? Indecent exposure to minors is pedophilia. Fucks. On Saturday, the Colorado House of Representatives voted on HB 23, a bill introduced to increase severity of indecent exposure in front of a minor to a class six felony, and 27 Democrats voted against the bill, with one saying she was concerned it would lead to the ban of drag shows. You guys fucking paying attention to what's going on in the world? She just admitted that drag shows were pedophilia in that statement. State Representative Leslie Harrod, these types of laws have been used to ban drag shows, to target individuals who use a restroom of the sex that they identify with, a public restroom, to charge them with felony charges. I'm very concerned about the attacks against transgender community that are happening across the United States. I'm not even going to watch this fucking clip. And I don't think you guys want to watch it either, because you're going to become infuriated. 27 Democrats. Yep. We've seen it. All right, fuck it. Let's watch the goddamn clip.
These types of laws have been used to ban drag shows, to target individuals who use the restroom of the sex that they identify with, a public restroom, to charge them with felony charges. I am very concerned about the attacks against the transgender community that are happening across the country. When I initially read this bill, it did not even come to mind, for me either, as an advocate. But as I've looked at the bills and as I've talked to my colleagues who are fighting these types of bills across the country,
are you guys with me that you think some of these politicians might be possessed to some degree? Like, when I think of possessed, when we think of possessed, we think of, like, we watch The Exorcist and the bitch is fucking going, her head spinning, you know, 360 motion. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, there's a small part of them that's being hosted by a fucking demon, that they're inhumane at this point. Because there's nothing, I mean, if you've encountered these types of politicians in person, you'll see, like, something's missing. You wave your hand, like, hello, it's fuck. Do you give a fuck about the kids' potential? And they're just like, well, sir, you have to protect trans rights and blah, 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 blah. And they just go into this whole fucking spiel about transgenderism. And it's like, they truly live and breathe pedophilia. And you can't, there's no natural, real human that really thinks that way. Unless, A, you've been like, you've encountered some insane trauma. B, potentially this is the case, you're being paid a shit ton of money, but, you know, anyone with any moral compass, you can hand me $1 billion to promote something sick and I would never fucking do it, right? Or C, there's some third fucking party that's either just washed over their brain and sense of thinking straight, and they are now under the true control of some other person, being, group, CIA, whatever. There's something very, very strange to the behavior of liberals who push this shit. Guys, if you guys want to leave a comment or question or something for me to read off, an opinion that you have about any of, between anything on the political spectrum, please do. I'll read it at the end. I can't put it on the screen yet, but I will definitely read it off and respond and potentially engage in some conversation with you. We'll move on to the last item. I could move on to a lot of items right now, but I want to just home in on one to call it a night. Let's talk about Justin Jones. Oh, sorry.
That one day. I mean, we stand here today as representatives of a movement that when they expelled us, they were trying to expel a movement. And so we are in solidarity with the people of our state. When we lifted up the call for a special session, that was an ask that came from these organizations, particularly young people who said, we cannot leave here and do nothing. And so it's going to look like going to these Republican districts in the next month and knocking on doors, holding town hall meetings, holding rallies in their districts, in lifting up the issue and saying that we're not going to allow you to let this simmer down. That we ended session on Thursday, excuse me, on Friday early because they thought it would die down, that people would forget about this. But what they don't realize is that we have a month to organize. And we're going to organize and travel across the state and continue to put pressure on them in their district. And Representative Zachary is an example of how out of touch they are with what's happening in Tennessee. Tennessee is a multiracial democracy. That's what we stand here as ambassadors of, that we want this vision of a multiracial democracy, not this vision of a corporate special interest aligned white males who are not aligned with the everyday people of our state.
I don't know if you guys seen that. That's him outside the White House, because Justin Jones was pretty much invited to the White House and is beloved by the Biden family and the Democratic Party as a whole. The last thing I want to say is there's another clip of Justin Jones where he's walking around the White House, and there's a ton of youth in this country that look at Justin Jones that you and I would look at someone like Matt Gaetz or Donald Trump. There is a strong amount of Gen Z, going back to our article about the fucked up Gen Z, 40%, whereas in 55%, I think, said American Patriot, which is a good thing, but we have our work cut out for us, man. And I really, really encourage that it starts. You know, I know a lot of people are Q followers and a lot of people believe in Donald Trump, and I think there, if you know, there's a strong chance Trump gets in the office and it kind of reclaims what's ours and what's the people's, right? And he gets duly elected fairly. You know, a strong part of me believes that could happen. But at the end of the day, I mean, it starts with us. We got to really get involved. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say I am or I'm not involved. I mean, that has nothing to do with it. I don't want to act like I'm doing something or I'm not doing something that you guys should be doing. But on a county level, at the very least, just try to get to know your GOP and see where their ideology stands and see what they're fighting. What are they working on in your communities? Because I've learned what my GOP is working on. And Michigan, believe it or not, has just overtaken a very, very corrupted MIGOP of straight rhinos who were all about money, who were Trump supporters, but they were not America first. And they claimed to be Trump because they may have known, you know, the grassroots MAGA movement, but they didn't really give a fuck. Whereas in like Christina Caramo and the new MIGOP and, you know, some of the bigger counties, Antrim, Wayne County, they are America first. And there's a big shift going on, but the amount of people are still somewhat lacking. You got someone like Justin Jones, man. You can't fucking let people like this be the guy who influences kids, man. I mean, it's pure propaganda. It's pure bullshit. The guy's a communist. The guy is as credible as Che Guevara, man. That's who these guys are. They're actors, man. They have a certain look. The guy has a perm, he has a suit, like he has a costume director. So does the guy with the afro. It's all a charade. And my final words to you guys for the night, and I say this to you guys a lot, get involved with your local and county GOP, because the GOP fucked the Republican Party, guys. It's a fucking joke. Let's be real. But can the Republican Party be used as a vessel by America First patriots to get in, be voted in? Because MAGA is the future of the grassroots, and the grassroots starts on a city, local, county level, right? So as much as we hate the Republican Party a lot of the time, they're rhinos and shit, it starts with us. You know, like Christina Caramo was not supposed to win MIGOP. It was seeing Trump win the presidency, but on a state level. Obviously, we wish it would have happened on a governor level, right? That would be the almost identical parallel. But from an MIGOP level, given how many corrupt rhinos there are in Michigan, Christina Caramo winning MIGOP was fucking big, man. It was huge. And it's a sign of good things, but there's a long way to go. So I hope you guys get involved in some way. I mean, like they say, if you don't have time to get involved in your local, use the GOP as a vessel to, you know, instill the cultures and traditions of this country, you know, through faith you know, hard work, the Constitution, freedom, the culture of America. As a brown person, I've always learned that the culture of America, I never understood it. Was it hamburgers? Was it hot dogs? I just didn't get it. I'm like, what the fuck is it? Like, what is the culture of this country? And then it kind of hit me the last few years. The culture of America is freedom. As corny as that may sound, the culture of America, because no other country has it. And that's what makes America unique, is that their culture, the very root of their culture, through, you know, religious freedom, speech, the right to bear arms, right? It's freedom. That's the, there's, and in America, a woman, a badass woman can be wearing a leather jacket riding a fucking Harley Davidson. Go try that in fucking Pakistan, man. Right? It's not happening. That's what makes America, America. So, it was awesome to be with you guys tonight, and I had fun, and I'll see you guys next week. And yeah, I hope you guys get involved. If you can't give your time, maybe donate some money. Make sure you trust who you give your money to. Don't give it to these fucking random Republicans calling you over the phone. Sir, can we get a pledge, sir? Sir, it's just $45. No, fuck off. No, you want to deal with some good people. Make sure you know who you're giving to. And if you can't donate money, donate your time. Maybe you have a certain skill set that you can kind of give to the Republican Party or the GOP in your local community who's fighting election fraud, you know? Michigan, a lot of election fraud. We're fighting that shit, man. If you can make a difference on that level, or at least try, you can say you tried something. You can sit on your deathbed and be like, I fucking tried, man. I didn't just sit there and watch. Because, you know, I know a lot of people who might feel that way. But all right, everybody, happy Sunday night. Happy Monday. Enjoy your week. And I'll see you soon.